Today's Amud is Ma'id Katan Hey Amud Beis. We're holding on Hey Amud Beis, the second line from the top, by the words Tanu Rabbanan. So we spoke in the Mishnah about the concept of being Mitzayin Kfarois, of pointing out where there's a kever, so Kehanim know, you know, not to become Tamei Meis. And we spoke about it in the context of Chol HaMoed, that on Chol HaMoed they're allowed to be Mitzayin the Kfarois. Now, on today's Amud, we're going to discuss more about this concept of Tzayin Kfarois, but more from the Tumah Vitara perspective. So says the Gemara Tanu Rabbanan, that ain mitzayin in loyal kazayis min ames. You're not mitzayin a kever if it's just a kazayis min ames. So really, before we see the brisa, the general rule that's out of shava that's going to come out from the brisa is that there's only a need to be mitzayin a kever if there's tumas oil. If a kain walking over that area, he's going to become tameh. If there's no tumas oil, then there's no need to be mitzayin the kever, because anyways, it won't be mitzayin the kain who walks there. So the brisa tells us that places that are not mitzayin b'oil, you don't have to be mitzayin it. So a mitzayin in loyal kazayis with a mace, you're not mitzayin on the kazayis of the flesh of a mace, v'loyal etzem kisaira, and not on a bone that's the size of a barley seed, even though it's mitame b'mago, it's not mitame b'ayol if it's only an etzem kisaira, and therefore there's no need to be mitzayin, v'loyal davar she'inu mitame b'ayol, or nor on anything that's not mitame b'ayol, there's no need to be mitzayin. Aval, however, mitzayin in ala sidra, you are mitzayin on a shidra, on a spine. The spine is mitame b'ayo. So a spine, you have to be mitzayin. Valagul gailas, and also on the skull. Al raiv binyan, on a raiv of the skeleton of the mace. Val raiv minyan, or on a raiv of the mount, the number of bones of the mace. Raiv binyan amace. Vein mitzayin in alav adois. Now, even though you're mitzayin on things that are mitame b'ayo, you don't have to be mitzayin on places that are vaday tame mace. Meaning, you don't have to go into a basic faris and be mitzayin the kvaris, because that kain already knows not to walk there. It's a vadai. There's no need to be mitzayin. Now, we still put up a matzeva. That's for other reasons. That's not just to keep kehanim away. But in terms of the halachis of tzion, there's no need to be mitzayin on a vadai. Aval mitzayin in ala sfekus. But you are mitzayin on places that there's a suffix, because being that we don't know where the tumah is, you have to be mitzayin the whole area. It's not a vadai. Ve'iluein asfekus. These are examples of sfekus. Schachos uprois. We'll see in the Gemara what exactly that refers to. Ubeis apras, and a third example, we'll see also in the Hemshech and the Gemara what a beis apras is. Ve'im amidin tzion b'makim tumah. Now, when you're mitzayin the tumah, when you're mitzayin the kever, so you don't put the tzion on the place where the tumah actually starts. Shalei lahafsid as ataris, because then by the time the kayin who's or that person who's holding the truma, by the time he gets there, it's going to be too late. By the time he notices the tzion, he's already over the tumah. So it's too late. So you're not mitzayin on the actual tumah. You have to be mitzayin around the tumah. Now, even though you're mitzayin around the tumah, ve'in marchikin tzion mimakim tumah. You don't go too far away from the tumah. You don't want to go too far away from where the tumah is, shalei lahafsid es Eretz Yisrael. Because if you're going to make the tzion 100 miles away, or 100 feet away from where the tumah is, so then you have that 100 feet of land that you're just wasting. That now you're not going to be able to use, because so therefore you're not supposed to make the tzion in a way that it's too far away. So you don't want it to be mamish on the tumah, but you also don't want it to be too far away. Now that's the end of the brisa. The Gemara now is going to elaborate on the different points of the brisa. So first of all, the brisa had said that you're not mitzayin on the kazayis ben ames. On the kazayis of the flesh of a mace, you don't have to make it tzion. Presumably, that's because the brisa is saying that it's not metame ba'ayil. So since it's not metame ba'ayil, so there's no need to make it tzion. However, ask the Gemara, ukazayis ben ames, ain't metame ba'ayil? Is that really true? A kazayis of the flesh of a mace is not metame ba'ayil? Va'atanya, but we learned in the brisa, Elusha metamin ba'ayol, the following things are metamin ba'ayol. And one of those things are kazayis min ames. Now the kazayis min ames is metamin ba'ayol. So why don't you make a tzion on the kazayis min ames if that's metamin ba'ayol? A kohen's going to potentially walk over and he's not going to realize and he's going to be metamin himself, or someone with truma is going to be metamin the truma. Or kachim, samar of papa, hacha bekazayis mitzumtsa maskinan. Here we're talking about that the kazayis of the mace that was buried was mamish exactly a kazayis. The saif saif michsar chasar. And in the end, the body decomposes, and that kazayis is very soon going to be less than a kazayis. Being that right now it's already exactly a kazayis, it's only a matter of time before it's going to be less than a kazayis. So mutav yisrfu olav truma v'kachim lefisha'a, val yisrfu olav lo'aylam. Better that we'll have to burn truma v'kachim that became tame just for a little bit of time and that we shouldn't burn it forever. Meaning like this. If we're mitzayin this kazayas min ameis, we're not going to then dig it up and know when it ever becomes less than a kazayas. So then forever and ever, we're going to have a tzian over this kazayas basar of the mace. If we're always going to have this tzian on the kazayas of basar, it's only a matter of time before it's really going to be less than a kazayas. So really, it's not going to be tameh. And yet, what's going to happen? You're going to have a person who might be mitame truma or kachim by walking over it, and he's going to go ahead and he's going to burn his truma and kachim because he's going to think he was mitame. He's going to see that there's a tzian over here. He's going to say, whoops, and he's that he was metame the truma, he was metame the kachim, and he's going to go burn it, even though really there's no tuma here because the body decomposed and it's not a kazayas anymore. So really he's going to be burning truma and kachim for no good reason. So we'd rather not have it see it. Don't make it see it. Now what's going to happen over the next week, let's say, before the body decomposes some more? So there might be a kain who walks there. There might be someone who walks there with truma who kachim, and he's going to be metame. He's going to have to burn it. It's true, but at least that will only be for a very short amount of time. Then to go through that tzara is better than having to go through the tzara of making the tzian, and really there's no tuma there. Now we mentioned Ve'iluin Asfekus, the Brice had listed cases of Suffolk, and we said Schachos Uprais, those were the first two examples, was Schachos Uprais. So says the Gemara, what are Schachos Uprais? Schachos is Ilan HaMesach Al-Aretz. If you have a tree that's going over some sort of road, and so you know that there's a mace that's buried under one of the branches, and you don't know which one, so therefore you're Mitzayin, that's what Rashi explains at least, that so therefore, the Myuchas L'Rashi, so therefore you're Mitzayin all around the entire tree, because each branch is a suffix that comes from the mace. And price is a very similar idea. Is avanim pruais hayoytis min ageder. It's the same idea, just it's a wall that has stones that are jaggedy that are coming out from the wall. So you don't know under which stone has the mace. So you're mitzayin underneath all the stones because you don't know under which stone has the mace. You're mitzayin all of them. Those are cases of suffix that you're mitzayin. And then Beis HaPras, the third case of Suffolk that the Braisa mentioned was a Beis HaPras. So what's a Beis HaPras? Says the Gemara, Kedinan, like we learned in the Mishnah, that a Chayreish is a kever. If a person, if there's a kever that's buried in a field, and someone goes by mistake with his plow, and he plows over the kever, so Harehu Oisa Beis HaPras. He now turns that field into a Beis HaPras, or at least a certain area, we'll see soon. He turns that area into a Beis HaPras. A pras literally means a piece. That we have to be chayshish that pieces of the mace went into all different areas. We're not metame be'oil. We don't think that there's a large amount, but it's enough at least that it's metame be'mago. And therefore makes a large area of the field tame. The kamhu aisa, when you're chayresh this kever, so how much of it does it make into a beis apras? How large of an area around where the kever was do you have to suspect that there's tuma? Mulay mana, it's the shear of the plow, which is me ama, 100 amos in each direction. That's how much you have to be chayresh that maybe the plow shot out from underneath the plow and went up to 100 amos away. Now ask the Gemara, Ubeis HaPras mi metame ba'ayo? Wait a second. This Beis HaPras is not metame ba'ayo. Is it? It's not metame ba'ayo. And if so, if it's not metame ba'ayo, so why would you be mitzayin it? And we mentioned before that you're only mitzayin places that have a chashash of tumas ayo. That have a chashash of tumas ayo. And the Mishnah said that one of the places that you're mitzayin because of suffix is a Beis HaPras. But a Beis HaPras, once you plow over the kever, so there's no chashash anymore of tumas ayo, it's just the problem. It's just the chashash of tumas mago. So why would you be mitzayin it? And the Gemara is going to prove it that there's no tumas oil. Says the Gemara, I'll prove it to you that there's no tumas oil by a Beis HaPras. V'ha'amar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda said, Amar Shmuel, he said in the name of Shmuel, that if a person gets to a Beis HaPras and he wants to go through the field, so and he has truma with him, or he has kachim, he needs to get to the other side, he's a kayin, so minapeach adam Beis HaPras, v'haylich, so you could get down on the floor, and you could start blowing. And as you walk, you blow, and you keep doing that as you go through the entire field. And in this way, you could be assured, you could be certain that you're moving away all the particles of the skeleton, and you don't have to be chayshish for tumah. But Rav Yehuda Barami Mishmed Ula Amar, another heter with a Beis HaPras, is that a Beis HaPras shenidash is tar. If you have a Beis HaPras, once there's enough people that walk through it, it got trampled on enough, so either by people, by goyim, by animals, whatever it is, or Yisrael by b'shaygig, so then it already becomes tar. Once enough people trample through it, So then we don't have to be chayshish anymore. Then the whole area is just tar. So now what do you see from here? You see that there's no chashash of tumas ayil. Because if there would be a chashash of tumas ayil, then these things wouldn't be a terim. There would be no heter. If there's a chashash that there still might be part of the mace that's buried underneath, so then, and that he's metamim ba'ayil, so then this wouldn't be a heter to just blow it, or just because of the fact that it was nidash. Elamai, you see that no, once it was nechrash, if you have a sadash, a nechrash ba'kever, so now there's no chashash anymore for tumas ayil. The only potential chashash is that, there might potentially be pieces of the bones that are metame b'manga, but there's no chashash of tumas ayil. And if so, why do you have to be mitzayin a base of pras? So says the Gemara, Amr of Papa like kasho. It's not a kasho. Kan b'sadesh avad b'kever, kan b'sadesh nechrash b'kever. There's a difference between a field avad b'kever. There's two types of base of prases. There's a base of pras that's a base of pras because the kever that was there got lost. You don't remember anymore where the kever is. So that is for sure, that's metameh ba'ayil. And that's what the Braisa spoke about, that you have to be metzayin it. Because there's a full kever there, you just don't know where it is, so you have to be metzayin the whole field, wherever there's a chashash, the kever might be there, so that's a case of suffik, that you have to be metzayin the whole field. This that we said at the base of pras, you could just blow it, minafeach v'haylech, that it's nidash, it becomes tahar, that's the other type of base of pras. That's the base of pras, shenechresh b'kever, that the kever got plowed, and it's just a chashash of small fragments of the mace that are all around. So that's an entirely different type of base of pras. So again, so there's two types of base of prases. There's a sada sha'ava bakever and a sada shenechresh bakever. The type of base of pras that you have to be mitzayin, that's if it's avad bakever. The type of base of pras that it helps you to be minapeach or to be nidash, so that's a sada shenechresh bakever. Now ask the Gemara. We'll go with the gears of the goin. Visada sha'avad ba'kever beis apras karilei is a field that a kever got lost in it. Do you really call that a beis apras? Says the Gemara in 100%. Yes, you do. That v'hatnan, and this means benichusa, like, and it's exactly like that which we learned in the Mishnah. That shloisha beis apras heim. There's not even two. There's actually three types of beis apras. There's a sada sha'nevad ba'kever, like we said, a sada that the kever got lost. Visada sha'nevad Nechresh b'kever, like we just spoke about, and that's where it helps you to be minapeach and to be nidash. And then there's a third type of base of pras called a v'sadeh b'ichin, a crying field. So that's the Gemara. What's this third maiste b'ichin? What's this crying field? Rav Yeshua bar Abba Mishmeidu Ula Amar. He explained that it's a sada shemaftirin b'mesa. It's the sada that when people, they would give over their mace to the Chevra Kadisha to bury it outside of the city. So they would go until the edge of the city, they would go to a field. That field was called the Stei Baichin. That's where they went to hand over the mace to the Chevra Kadisha. And very often, or at least at times, what happened was, is pieces of the mace got detached from the mace. It's horrible. Pieces of the mace got detached from the mace. And so now the family of the mace that were handing over the mace to the Chevra Kadisha, so they assumed that the Chevra Kadisha would pick up the pieces, and they left it there. And the Chevra Kadisha is assuming, oh, if the family really cares about that, so they're going to go get it, and they're going to hand it to us, and so they're assuming that the family is going to go get it. What ends up happening is that nobody goes to get it, and we have chashashes of tumah in this field, inside the stei baichin. It's another type of suffik tumah. It's a type of base of pras, a stei baichin, where there's this chashash of tumah. Reminds us of the Gemara in Erevin, that the Gemara says over there in Gimel and Aleph, a kedeir debe shutfi, like chamim of like karira, then we have two people in charge, so nothing gets done. So over here, you have the Chevra Kadisha there, you have the family there, each one's relying on the other, and then no one ends up picking up the pieces, and that's what a stei baichin is. It's a third type of base of pras. Now says the Gemara, so the Gemara really is about to now speak out what we just said over. Now v'tayma mais, now why is it stei baichin tame? Meaning all the Gemara said so far was just that it's a field that people, they say goodbye to their mesim, to their relative. So why is that a place that there's tuma? Amra avimi mishum yeyush bailim naguba. Because there's a problem, there's this chashash of yeyush bailim, what we just spoke out, that each one relies on the other, and no one ends up picking up the pieces of the mace. Now amra avimi mishum, v'sadash kever loy baitzian. Now ask the Gemara. So we just to take it back a step. So we said now we had a problem because the Brice on the one hand it says that a base of pras you make a tzian over it. So that's mashmah that it has to masayo. You're supposed to make a tzian over a base of pras. Then on the other hand we know that there's certain kulos that apply to a base of pras. You could be menapeach b'haylech a base of pras and yidash is tar. So with the Gemara answer that there's two types of base of prases. Really we know now that there's a third type, but in this context it's discussing two different types of base of prases. The brisa which said you make it tzian is a sada she'avad by kever, and then the brisa which says that you could just be minapeach v'haylech that you can and a base of pras shenidash is tar, that's talking about shenechash by kever, and in a chanami on that type of base of pras you would not make it tzian. Ask the Gemara, is that true? Usada shenechash by kever loy by tzian. On the sada, that's a base of pras, because it was nechersh bakever. So you do not make a tzian on a sada she nechersh bakever? Vatanya, but we learned in the braisa. Matzah sada mitzuyenes. A person's walking somewhere, and he sees that there's a field that's marked off. Ve'en yedua mativa. And he doesn't know why is it marked off. Is it a sada she nechersh bakever? Or is it a sada she'avad bakever? He wants to know, can I be menapeach? Can I start blowing? If it was nidash, is it tar? He wants to know what type of base of pras this is. So even already right then and there, right here, we already see that means a base of pras, shenidash, is you do make a tzian over it, because that's the whole case over here. The guy gets to a field, he sees the tzian, he's not sure, why does it have a tzian? Is it a base of pras, is it shenechersh bakever, or is it shavad bakever? So you see right over here, that even if it's nechersh bakever, that's a type of field that you make a tzian. But we'll speak out the whole braisa. So the braisa says, so this person, he gets to the field, and he doesn't know, why does it have a tzian? Is it nechersh bakever, or is it avad bakever? So the halacha is as follows. If he sees that there are trees in the field, so then he could assume that it's a field that was nechersh bekever, that was plowed, the kever was plowed, because otherwise how is there a tree over here? It must be it was plowed, and mamela he could rely on the eitzah to be menapeach v'haylech. Now the Ritva points out that maybe the tree was planted before the Kfura. Maybe the reason why you're seeing a tree is because one time this field was plowed, but that was before they ever buried the mace. Then they buried the mace, and then the kever got lost. And really, it's a sada she'avad b'kever. How do you know just because you see a tree that it was nechrash b'kever? You see it was a sada she'nechrash, but you don't see that it was a sada she'nechrash b'kever. How do you know that the kever got plowed over? So the Ritva explains it must be we're talking about the type of tree that this type of tree. In order for it to survive, it needs you to constantly be plowing the field to soften the soil. And mamela, the fact that you see this type of tree over here, it must be it was plowed over recently, and the kever that was there is a sada shenechrash ba kever. So that's the halacha. You see that there's a tree, this type of tree, so you could assume it's a sada shenechrash ba kever, and you could be menapeach v'haylech. Ein ba'ilah nice. However, if you don't see any trees, so then biadua she'avad ba kever. So then it must be a field that it was avad ba kever, and then you're not allowed to rely on the different eitzes that we mentioned before. Rabbi Yehuda Imer. Rabbi Yehuda is machmir. Rabbi Yehuda says that no, achi hey sham zakin a talmid. That no, you can't just rely on the tree. You have to have a mesayra. You have to have a zakin or a talmid chacham who tells you b'mesayra that I know that this field was avad bekever or nechrash bekever. Or if you want to rely on the kulas, then you have to know for sure that it was nechrash bekever through a mesayra from a zakin or a talmid. You cannot rely on a tree. And the reason why you dafka needed to be a zakin or a talmid, why can't anyone on the street who tells you it was from the city, why can't he tell you that it's a sada shenechrash bakever? Explains Rabbi Yehuda, lefi she'ena kol bekiyin bedavar. Because not everyone's a baki, only a zakin and a talmud chacham is a baki. We'll see in the hemshach of the Gemara exactly what that means. But the point is again, you see lehedya that even a sada shenechrash bakever gets a tzian. Because here we have a field with a tzian, and the guy wants to know, how do I know if it's a sada shenechrash bakever or avad bakever? We give different eitzos. But the point is that you see that even if it's nechrash bakever, it gets at sea, not like what we said before. Says the Gemara, Rav Papa. Rav Papa says that no. Kitanya hi, that braisa that we just spoke out is talking about besada she'avad bakever. Originally, for sure, it was a sada she'avad bakever, and that's why the tzinuha, and that's when they put the tzian over there because it was avad bakever. You do not make a tzian by a sada she'nechrash bakever. There's no tomas ayil. There's no need for a tzian. The tzian only goes in a sada she'avad bakever, and the braisa is talking about a field that we know was avad bakever. The shaila is, since it was avad, was it also nechrash? So Yesh Ba'ilana, the Tanakhama tells you that if you see trees, be a du'a shenechresh ba'kever. So then you know, besides being avad, it was also nechresh ba'kever. And ein ba'ilana is bi'adua sha'avad ba'kever. And if there's no trees, so then you know that it's only avad ba'kever, and it was not nechresh, and it was not nechresh. Now ask the Gemara, even if you see trees in the field, v'leichosh doma ilana is migavai, ukever mibarai. How does that tell you that the kever itself was plowed over? Maybe the trees are on the inside of the field, and the kever was on the outside of the trees. So they did plow the middle of the field, but that's not where the kever was. So how do you know just because you see trees that it must be that the kever was nechrash? Maybe the field was nechrash, and the kever is on the outside of that area. Says the Gemara, Kedamer Ula, like Ula once said to explain a different halacha, that be'aimden ala gvulin, he said that the trees were by the border of the field. Hachanami, here also I'll tell you that the case of the Braisa is be'aimden ala gvulin, is a case where the trees are by the border of the field, and therefore it can't be that the kever is outside of that, because the trees are on the border, they're on the outer border of the field. Well, ask the Gemara, maybe it's the opposite. So maybe, it's still, how do you know just because you see trees that the kever was nechrash? Maybe it was nechrash the field on the outside of the field, and the kever was in the middle of the field. So how do you know just because you see trees that it was that the kever was nechrash? Says the Gemara, b'mesubachin. Now we're talking about over here that the trees are scattered throughout the entire field, and therefore there's no way to say that the kever was a nechrash. Or, v'bayiseimo, another teretz, is ha'amran ein marchikin si'en mimakim tuma, sh'leil hafsedes eretz Yisrael. We already said before that you're not supposed to make the tzian far away from the tuma. So what do you want to suggest? That maybe the trees that are on the border of the field, maybe it's only the border of the field that was nechrash, and the kever is in the middle, and the kever was never nechrash. That can't be, because if the kever was all the way in the middle of the field, so then why would they have been mitzayin the entire field? You're not supposed to make the tzian so far away from the tuma. So it must be that we don't know that the kever was in the middle of the field specifically, and therefore if you see the trees around the border, it's probably the kever was closer to the border, and therefore if you see trees there now, so now you could assume that the field, that the kever itself was plowed over. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, we mentioned the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yehuda said, Achiehe Sham Zakin Talmud, that no, you can't rely on the eights of the trees. You have to know it by Mesaira, you have to ask a Zakin, a Talmud Chacham, what's the status of this field? Lefisha'ina called Bekian Bedavar, because not everyone's a Baki. You can't just ask anyone in the town. Amr Abaye explained Rabbi Yehuda, and he said that what you see from Rabbi Yehuda is that Shema Minot Sorba Mirabana Diika Bemasa Komili Demasa Ale Ramya. You see, when you have a young Talmud Chacham in a city, so all the matters of the city are his responsibility. He's not supposed to just say, the way the Meiri explains, he's not supposed to sit back and say, oh, it's not my responsibility. If there's something halachic, any halachic concerns that exist in the city, so the Talmud Chacham is supposed to make sure to know what's going on, and therefore, that's why Rabbi Yehuda said, if you want to know what's the status of this field, it doesn't seem like it's negeyat halacha, but you're talking about where a person was buried, you're talking about like very, mundane type of things. No, that's the Talmud Chacham's responsibility. He has to know what's going on in the town, and that's why he's the one that you're supposed to ask if you want to know what's the status of the field.